Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 30th
episode you're 30, 30, ever going to hear.
30.
The 30th episode of the Triborough Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Alonzo, as always, joined by Nicholas O'Brien, as always. And if you didn't watch episode 29, really quick, go back and watch episode 29, because that'll explain who this guy is. I'm not going to even name his name, because you should already know who he is.
I'm a legend. From episode 29. I'm a motherfucking legend.
You should already
if you
know.
Watch episode 29, in the comments, tell us what his name is.
Tell us what so his we name know. Is. Tell yeah, us his we name.
Know. I know my own name.
I know who his name is.
I know his name. You know his name.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
Do you know his name?
Do you know his name?
Anyways.
Do I know his name? Do I know his name? You fucking know I know his name.
All right, we're idiots. So we pretty much went over our predictions from last year and last episode, and we did our over-unders. And now to wrap up kind of our predictions before the season starts, we are going to be doing our award picks and our division standings. So the awards, we're going to have MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, Relief Pitcher of the Year, and Comeback Player of the Year, the best award in baseball, as everyone knows. Mm. And yeah, so just...
Let's go right into it.
All right, so I'll start off with AL with MVP, then you'll do NL,
yeah,
like we did last time. Okay, so for AL MVP, this one was tough. I went with my strategy last year where I'm going the safe bet. I am going... For the second year in a row, for a different league, Juan Soto.
Ooh. I'll go along the same route as you and go with somebody that I was banking on to have a much better year than they ultimately did. Same guy, but I'm going Julio Rodriguez because he's the best player on a team that I think doesn't have anybody at that caliber that he's at.
Ian, I hate you because I am also going with Julio Rodriguez. This was easy for me. It was not close with Soto. Mm-hmm. I think, do you mind if I explain?
Go.
With Soto, I think he is a safe pick, but I think he's just not going to accumulate enough war because of his defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodriguez is just a more complete player.
Mm-hmm.
I think Soto is the better hitter, but Rodriguez can have an Acuna-type season while playing better defense in center field.
Yeah.
So he went 30-30 last year. I think he can hit 40. He can steal a hell of a lot more bases. And he had a pretty rough first half.
He did.
If he has a complete, full, consistent season, I think he runs away with MVP.
Mm-hmm. I also just want to see the Mariners do better this year. So, and in order for that to happen, you're going to need Julio Rodriguez to have that MVP caliber season that... While last year he did finish fourth in voting, he needs that number one in order for them to the Mariners to be good.
My thought process was Julio would have been my second pick, by the way. I just decided to go safer rather than riskier because I think that if who's more likely to have zero MVP votes between the two of them, I think it's Julio. I don't think he's going to get zero. I think he's going to at least get some. But I just think that the checkmate out of all of these is Scott Boras client on a contract year. That is my checkmate to why I chose Juan Soto.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
it's not a bad pick. It's just, I don't know. We'll see how Juan Soto does.
For me, I want to take the guy who's a generational player. And me and Nick have had this discussion like off camera. Generational is way overused when it comes to guys. Juan Soto is one of the very few guys you could actually label generational. And you can't really argue against it.
Yeah.
I want that guy on a contract here.
That's fair. I really think his defense.
It's the defense. That's the part that...
Yeah, he was only positive outs above average in 2019 and 2021.
I mean, hey, he's working with Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. But
he also is going to be playing a favorable right field.
Yes, that is true.
That is a pretty easy position to play, so I think that...
You would hope.
Well, it's easier than like a left field or a center field.
Right, for sure. So, definitely. Yeah. But good pick.
Yeah, and then if you want to go for the NL MVP.
All right. Oh. So NL MVP. This was a little tough for me. I had a lot of trouble with this.
I had fun with this one.
I really wanted to pick one guy, but I'll wait for us to say our picks before I say who I wanted to pick. But I am going with Fernando Tatis Jr.
Okay, that's an interesting one. So I had fun with this one as well, but my thinking, I was doing a lot of my decision making based on how I see the actual standings going.
Mm-hmm.
And last year was Ronald Acuna Jr. that won it. I don't think it's going to be him. I think it's going to be another Brave. I'm going to go with Matt Olson.
Interesting.
Ooh,
yeah. Good pick. A little out of left field.
I am going to do a very opposite player from Nick. You chose a player that has had issues on character and things like that. Move from shortstop to outfield. I'm going to do a guy who has never had character concerns, move from outfield to shortstop. I'm going to be taking Mookie Betts.
That's who I wanted to go with.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be a good defensive shortstop. So I think that's going to drag down his overall WAR stats. As you may have picked up, I'm doing a lot of like WAR, like E stuff. Like, it's not the end all be all, but
it's very important.
If you look at the voting, the top two, the top two position players in WAR are usually the ones who are in the top two of MVP voting. I'm not sold on his defense because what I've seen is not good. I was just going to say, if he stood at second base, if Gavin Lux didn't have a noodle arm, I think this is a different conversation. Mm. But the fact that he's playing shortstop worries me.
Mm. I also, for me, he is very durable. That, like, for Tatis, like, you have, let's look at this, 84 games, 59 games in COVID, 130, didn't play for all of 2022, and then for injury / suspension, 2023, 140 games. So it's one of those things of, like, incredible talent, but I just don't know if he can play the games. And also, the biggest point, so far, he has a 64 OPS plus, and Mookie Betts has a 365 OPS plus.
In two games that played at 6 in the morning. But I think he won the Platinum Glove last year.
Mm.
He had a 4.4 WAR with an extremely down offensive season. If he can get back to his normal, I guess-ish levels, like that, I don't think he's going to have like a 150 WRC plus. If he gets to like 145, 140 with Platinum Glove defense, I think he has a really good shot.
I just want to go back to 2018 when Mookie Betts won the MVP. I'm going to be reading off his OPS plus. 186, 134, 147, 126, 140, 163. And that is in all those years except for 2021, he won the Gold Glove. Granted, different position. But he's still going to be playing some outfield in certain games. He's probably going to play some second base as well. Mm. And some.
I don't. See, that's my thing, because the Dodgers, their depth isn't fantastic at the moment. If Lux struggles at second base and you have to move Mookie, who's playing shortstop?
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Rojas, maybe. And their outfield is crowded.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be tough finding a position for Mookie to play if there's issues.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, if he's consistently moving around positions, that's going to affect his defensive numbers,
mm-hmm.
which I think can drag down his overall stats.
Interesting. I would think it would help just because for a voter's perspective, where you see, oh yeah, he's playing three different positions.
Right, but if it's below average, three different positions. Mm-hmm. Like with DJ, with his DRS that we did for the over-unders, it got dragged down because he played multiple positions.
He was also hurt. Yeah, he was hurt.
So I'm just not sold on Mookie's defensive ability in the infield. So
I will defend Matt Olson here because I feel like
I've been
very silent on
this. We really just didn't talk about Olson.
Yeah, we really didn't. But he's very reliable. He's played 162 games for the past 2 years. Before that, it was 156 in Oakland. You can rely on him to be... probably, if it's not Acuna, it's Matt Olson is the best hitter in that Braves lineup, 100%. The difference, if we're talking the 2023 Braves in OPS Plus, is 168 for Acuna and 162 for Matt Olson. I don't know. I'm not saying that Acuna is going to have a terrible year. I don't think he's going to be putting up the same numbers as he did last year. But Matt Olson, I can rely on to be the best hitter in that Braves lineup year in, year out. He's also won Gold Gloves in Oakland, so he's not a scrub when it comes to defense. So he's probably one of the most well-rounded players in there. His time is going to come eventually. 2024 is probably a really good year for that.
My thing with it is so incredibly hard to win MVP as a first baseman.
That's what I was going
to
say.
You have to win the triple. You pretty much have to either get damn near close or win the triple crown.
But Matt Olson can be a game breaker. He could be that guy.
I just, for me, who would you say is the better lineup between the Braves and the Dodgers?
Between the Braves and the Dodgers?
Braves.
I would say the Braves.
I don't think it's close.
You don't think it's close?
The bottom half of the Dodgers are a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree on that. I think also you look at Brian Snicker and you look at the minor leagues for the Braves, they're better at developing those younger guys that you can rely on, like Vaughn Grissom. Like, right. I know I went to high school in Fairfield,
Connecticut.
Didn't
he get traded?
Yes.
Okay, but I'm saying like last year, for example, where he was good, he was a lot younger. And I know, like growing up, I grew up in Connecticut, there's a kid who played high school a couple towns over. His name's Stephen Paolini. He's still in the Braves system. Another guy whose name I saw in the lineup with him consistently was Vaughn Grissom. He's moved up in the minors very quickly and was able to perform at a major league level at a decent rate, which I think is evidence, I think, less of Vaughn Grissom, but I think more of the Braves' ability to develop young guys into players who can perform in Atlanta.
No.
So
for
it's
sure.
going to be a very dangerous Braves lineup. Okay. And we're going to talk about standings a lot more later on. You'll hear my thoughts on the Braves.
So we talked a lot about MVP.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna like to wrap it up. Nick went because you probably forgot. He went Tatis. Yeah. Ian went Matt Olson, and then I correctly picked Mookie Betts. So going on to AL Cy Young, I just want to say I had this in before the Gerrit Cole injury. I had Corbin Burns.
Mm. I'm gonna go because I'm looking at people from last year. I think that it's a much weaker AL in terms of pitching. I'm gonna go Luis Castillo. I like the Mariners this year.
I really wanted to go Castillo back to back years. I love Luis Castillo. I'm gonna be so pissed if he wins it this year because I was just 1 year off. But even with the injury, I'm gonna go with Kevin Gausman.
I
think he's going to miss only a few starts, maybe like one or two, but he's still set to play majority of the year. Kevin Gausman is just, he's a pitcher, and he's been in the top three the past few years in the NL and AL.
Mm.
And the Blue Jays are going to be an interesting team, so I'm not sure how the voters are going to look at that. But he's consistently like a 3-3, a low 3 ERA pitcher with his FIP being below that. So there's a chance he can have a below 3 ERA, and he is always like top 5 in strikeouts.
Hmm.
So I think he just puts together a hell of a year and he wins it.
One of the main reasons I went Burns is because of ballpark. I think that he's a guy that is probably, it's him and Cole for number 1 and 2 pitchers in baseball. So at least for me personally, I would say that Cole's out. So I think Burns right now is the best pitcher in baseball. Just that he's going to start the season. He's going to be in a very pitcher friendly ballpark. So I like it all this year.
I think I might be just going off historical bias in terms of the Orioles. Yes, they're in a very pitcher friendly ballpark, but it's always been up and down with their pitching as a whole.
Well, they've had no one even close.
Exactly, other than Kyle Bradish last year. But I need to see, I could be completely wrong. I want to see more consistency in Baltimore before I can pick somebody for Baltimore for Cy Young.
Hmm.
Luis Castillo is also in a very pitcher-friendly ballpark in T-Mobile.
No.
Where it's ultimately going to come down to pitching war, I think is going to be the ultimate decider of whoever has the highest P-war is going to be your Cy Young the same way it was with Gerrit Cole, who was leagues above everybody else.
You said P.
Oh, my God. But I think that's ultimately, it's going to come down to that, and I'm high on the Mariners as well. It's a crapshoot in terms of top-tier pitching talent in the AL, so it's really just throwing darts at a dartboard.
Yeah.
I love that pick, Ian. Just fabulous.
Thank you.
My one thing against Burns, just to quickly tie it in a bow, he's pitching in a much, much harder division.
I'll give you that.
You know, so obviously still going to be a good pitcher. I just don't know how, you know, instead of playing the NL Central half the year, playing against the AL East.
Well, divisions also matter less.
Right, but you're still playing them more rather than other teams.
No, 100%.
So I'm just not sure how that's going to affect him. I think he's going to be a good pitcher, just not quite Cy Young level.
Fair.
Yeah, also, again, new team. It's going to be, there can be an adjustment period.
Mm. I think he had time to adjust, though. Like, he had a decent amount. It's not like he just got traded right before spring training.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying, like,
completely
first year
city.
On a new team, there's going to be some sort of adjustment regardless of how long you're in spring.
Yeah, so I think kind of got all we can for the AL Cy Young.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, wrapping a bow there. And
moving on to the NL Cy Young, I'm going to be boring. I'm going to pick Spencer Strider.
Yeah, I'm going boring, too. Give me him. Give me Strider.
I'm going to go different.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to go Logan Webb for the Giants.
Okay.
I don't know what it is about the Giants. You're going to see him more about predictions, but I got a feeling about the Giants this year.
For some reason,
I don't know what it is, but I just have this feeling with the Giants.
For some reason, I didn't think you were going to go with Logan Webb. I thought you were going to go a different route.
Who did you think I was going to take?
I thought you were going to say either Glasnow or you were going to say Zach Gallen.
Gallen was my number two pick.
I'm not as high
on him. My thing with Glasnow is I don't think he gets the innings.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
You look at Logan Webb, he finished in Cy Young second last year, and he finished in Cy Young 11th the year before. I can't remember what it was, but I was, like, getting really nerdy with the numbers, and there was one stat that I saw that I think it was, like, his ground ball to fly ball rate or something that just, like, spiked last year, and he finished second, but it's usually a lot better than that overall, and a lot of the other numbers, like, that was it was a lot better in other years.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got second in Cy Young last year. Last 3 years, 136 ERA plus, 136, 130.
Yeah, I think the other thing is last year was a very weak competition for NL Cy Young. You had Blake Snell, who somehow ran away with it.
He ran away
with it
at the end, though.
Yeah.
Like, it was very close for a very long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Between him, Strider, Gallen.
Right, but no one stood out to me. And Logan Webb is a very similar pitcher to Sandy, I think, with just innings, ground ball rate. I just don't think he strikes out enough guys. Strider, obviously, you're going to have a lot of strikeouts. And
but also a lot of walks and a high, like,
not really.
Relatively decent.
Yeah,
ERA.
But
strikeouts.
All his underlying numbers say that he should have been better last year.
Mm.
Like, I don't like looking at underlying numbers to, like, kind of save a pitcher for the year they had, but to look ahead, this is one of the safest picks you can have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I definitely think it's a safe pick, but I didn't want to go him because I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling about the Giants, and I feel like Strider's kind of a boring pick, and I kind of went boring
he
picks.
He is a very boring
pick. I went boring picks with other guys, so I kind of wanted to go fun here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but just to wrap it up, last year he had a 3.86 ERA. His expected ERA was 3.09.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of regression to the mean coming.
And what was the FIP if you had that in front of you?
I can hopefully maybe grab it.
Yeah, if not, I can definitely get it.
I do not have it.
I can
I'm just looking at his Baseball Savant page.
Red.
And no, for Logan Webb.
Oh, Webb,
and I'm just saying, out of the last 3 years, his worst year was last year.
Hmm.
Actually, I did find a FIP number on Spencer Strider. He was the lowest in, I don't know if it was baseball or the NL, at a 2.85. So I think that, again, is an indicator where he could be due for a much better year in terms of every single statistic. The one thing you can rely on, regardless, is he's going to have the highest strikeout number, probably also the highest K per nine number out of any starter, not just in the NL, but in all of MLB.
Definitely.
It's a very safe choice. It's a very boring choice.
Yeah.
But again, it's Spencer Strider and it's the Atlanta Braves. Yeah. They're probably going to be, I'm not going to spoil it too much, but they are, I'll talk about it more. I'm high on the Braves.
Yeah.
If you couldn't tell.
So going on to the Rookie of the Year for the AL, I am going to pick Wyatt Langford.
I am going to go, I'll actually go with Wyatt Langford as well, because for me, I've talked about this off camera with both of you. It's going to be just picking a name out of a hat
dartboard,
for the most part. Yeah. It's going to be it's just random for the most part. But I'll go Langford here because I'm not. We talked about it also in private. Jackson Holliday starting in the minors. He's leading in terms of odds on favorite, but that's
and
probably going
Wyatt down. Langford is starting in the major leagues.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to go with his counterpart, and I'm going to pick Evan Carter. I think this is going to be a Randy Rosarena kind of situation where he had a hell of a postseason. And then his first full year, he wins Rookie of the Year. You know, he's been here before. He's had success. Mm. He obviously had a hell of a lot of success in the World Series and in the playoffs. Uh-huh. So I just think that it's kind of more of a sure thing than Langford. Mm-hmm. Although Langford is probably has a little more upside than Carter, I would say. But I think just more, I don't know, he's been here before. There's just something about him. Like, it just makes sense. And again, I think it's just a storyline thing.
Yeah. Kind
of same thing as, like, Randy.
For me, I had Evan Carter down. But right before your recording, you said Langford made the roster. And that was kind of my thing. I just want to see if he made the roster or not. And he did. So that's why I changed to him. Or, like, I pivoted really quick.
I'm also just high on him from college. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he hasn't spent as much time in the minors as other players that are, like, in your favorite. Or in, like, the top ranks of betting odds, but he was just such a tank at Florida that you can kind of expect that regardless of development needed, because, again, 3 years in college.
Yeah.
Alrighty, then we move on to NL Rookie of the Year. I went back and forth with a lot of guys on this.
There are two guys for me.
There's also two for me.
There was three for me, but I'm going to go with another boring pick, and I'm going to go with Jackson Chourio of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I think this is a more boring pick.
I'd low-key.
But,
that's a more exciting pick than mine.
Because I was split. I'll say who I was split between. I was split between Chourio. I was also split between Jung-Ho Lee of the Giants. I'm going to lean towards him because, again, I'm 50-50, and
you're
I just want a different
towards
opinion.
Him, you name two guys.
Oh, sorry. The latter, Jung-Ho Lee, the Giants. Thank you.
I'm going with, I know he got lit up, but Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I just think that when it comes to a pitcher coming over for Japan, I think it's a lot safer of a bet there, because I was also between him and Lee, but I just think that the competition in Japan is better than the competition in Korea. And those are kind of the safer guys, and they win rookie. Like, regardless how you feel about the system, they have, I don't want to say an unfair advantage for rookie of the year, but they have better odds, I would say, at least a better floor, so that's why I went with him.
I also just think it's an uphill battle in recent years for a pitcher to win rookie of the year, which is why I was going more towards the hitters. I do think we might be talking about this at some point on TSS, but I think all the hate and, like, saying, oh, Yamamoto's going to be terrible, worst contract ever, I think is an overreaction.
Definitely.
It was his first start. It was in South Korea. It wasn't
that too. I'm
Stadium.
Like, this is such a
was, like,
weird
calm down.
Start that,
like,
calm, I'm not.
Like, calm at the por favor, calm down. But, again, I think it's for Lee. I think he's a little on the older side. I think it's, and I'm also think it's going to be the company you keep, where I think the team around him is going to be better than with Chourio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just Chourio exemplifies the past two Rookie of the Year winners. You have Michael Harris and the Harris winner or Strider?
It was Harris.
It was Harris, right. Yeah, so Harris, Corbin Carroll, power, speed, young guys. You know, he signed a contract before he even played a Major League Baseball game. Yamamoto, I'm still high on him. I still think he's going to be a good pitcher. But you look at this year Senga had, and yeah, Corbin Carroll had a hell of a year too. He had a below 3 ERA in his first season here, and he had good strikeout numbers. He walked too many guys. He still finished second. So like Ian said, it's a lot harder for a pitcher to win Rookie of the Year. You also look at 2022 with Harris and Strider. Strider came up, and he was fantastic. Harris still ran away with it. So I think it's just,
I also don't.
Chourio's the same player as the past two winners. I think that's what voters are looking for.
I don't see him as, I think that the gap's a lot closer, though, between Yamamoto and Chourio's than it was in other years. Because I'm not as high on Chourio's as, like, everyone else is. Like, I don't think he's going to have a Corbin Carroll year. I think he's going to be lower than that, and Yamamoto's going to be higher than, was I going to say? Then Senga.
You think he's going to have a better ERA than 2.98?
Maybe a better year. Because how many innings did Senga pitch?
Like 160.
160? Yeah, that was okay.
Like 150, 160.
Regardless. But I just think also with all the hype the Dodgers are getting, too, I could see that.
Yeah.
I lean Yamamoto.
That's fair.
You want to know who I was thinking about, but I was like, not as a serious pick, but would be really cool if you won it. Shota Imanaga of the Cubs.
It would be.
He's a fan favorite.
That is the last guy I was going
really?
Between.
Okay.
I really
okay.
like his upside. Mm-hmm. I just think his fly ball rate is a little scary, yeah. but I really like his upside.
I wasn't thinking it in terms of any sort of like numbers or stats. I was just saying a lot of people like him. I was just thinking about his introductory press conference and like the media loves him. All the reactions I was seeing on social media were comments from Cubs fans that were like, I like this guy already, and he hasn't even pitched an inning for me. So,
yeah.
That would be cool.
So, do you have anything else? So, for AL Manager of the Year, I'm going to have you guys go first.
Me go first.
Because I have...
I was going to say, I'll start.
You want to go? Yeah.
Because I have a take.
I just need a list in front of me. I will go with, and this is, I think I foreshadowed this already, by my MVP and Cy Young picks, Scott Servais of the Mariners.
Ian, stop copying me.
God damn it. What? Like, we have the same mind right now.
We're on the same wavelength. I also went Scott Servais. I've talked about it in the years past. I really like the Mariners. I still really like the Mariners. But, yeah.
Oh, what is that shit-eating grin over there, Justin?
He's going to say something wild. Who's the manager of the Twins? He's
going
to say the Twins.
I'm going to be going Matt Quatero. I think that's how you pronounce his name. The manager of the Royals.
Oh, my God. Okay, go on.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what he's cooking.
I can't wait till we get to divisions.
I just have a feeling that the Royals are going to be much better than years past. And because, for one, I can't remember who the guy... There was a couple of guys that really intrigued me. Vinny Pescantino, Pescantino was out pretty much all of last year. He didn't really play. So
yeah,
I think you're going to
add him on my fantasy team.
You're going to add him. I have him on mine this year. You're going to add him to that lineup, and there were a couple other moves. I forget what it was, but they did that, like, I liked. You're going to have the White Sox, who are in a rebuild. You're going to have the Tigers, where who knows what the Tigers are going to do. They're kind of in, like, purgatory. You have the Twins, who lost Sonny Gray, and you don't know what Correa is going to. I know they haven't really had Correa. You don't know what Buxton and Royce Lewis are going to be, because Royce Lewis has had all the injuries. And then you have the Guardians, who I've never been that high on the Guardians. So I'm just going to say this. I don't have them winning the division, but I just think that they're going to go from absolutely god-awful to a solid team, so that's going to get them.
I don't hate the reasoning. Mm-hmm. I think it's very sound. My thinking is, though, when it comes to an award like Manager of the Year, I think it's ultimately on the team that where the expectations are as low, but they're also, like, the best in their division.
I would
or
say
near
best.
The best. Or near the best. And that's, I see that a lot more with the Mariners than the Royals. Because there's a lot of question marks in terms of ceiling.
Everything.
Yeah. Like Bobby Witt Jr., I've heard things people saying he's a dark horse MVP candidate. He could, but he could also be around the same numbers that he had last year. Or hell, hopefully.
Oh no, 30-30.
Yeah. Or who knows?
When
and
the
then,
guy who should have won
again,
Pasquantino
again
oh, no.
didn't have a full year, could also not be there. And who else is there beyond that? That's again another question.
Like I said, I think Brady Singer bounces back, and I think he has so much talent. He's still pretty young, that like I said, it's a gut feeling. I think that's one of the worst division, if not the worst division in baseball.
Oh, it is.
It's that or the Central. You'd say that over
it's
NL? Central?
I would say AL is so much worse.
So you're in that division. I just think that they're going to compile wins. And for me, I don't think the Mariners are close to the best team. I think that you have two teams that are like, I would definitely put a tier above the Mariners.
We'll see.
Okay, whatever.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We both like the Mariners over on this side of the table.
Yeah.
All right. NL Manager of the Year. I feel like I'm going to steal your pick, so I'm going to let you go first.
I'm going to go Bob Melvin.
That was my pick. I had a feeling.
Okay, hear me out. Let me get here real close. People watching on YouTube, anyone listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever the fuck you're listening to the Triborough Podcast, here's one for you. Justin, look at me. Bud Black of the Rockies.
Mom, I what? Think that
I am
gave
fucking
someone...
with you. Okay. I'm also going Bob Melvin, and no, I want to. I that's what I'm going with. Because I'm also just split on being a contrarian, but if I were to go in my mind, I would also say
Bob Black.
No.
No. Bob Black. I think the Giants are going to surprise some people. I think Bob Melvin is a really good manager. Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say about it. I like the Giants.
I'm high on the Giants, too, so.
I like the Giants this year. They're more proven. Like, it's ultimately... comes down to Bob Melvin. He's a proven manager. He's been in MLB for a long time. He's won it in the past, I believe, with the Athletics. If I were to give, I will say, honorable mention, I would go Rob Thompson of the Phillies as an honorable mention.
I just don't think that they were bad enough for him to get it.
Yeah,
I would agree. That's why I'd go Bob Melvin.
Yeah. The expectations are already high. Not so much for the Giants. I think,
not
like
nearly
you said,
as much.
That's why. That's. The
but also, you're
going
to have the Braves above the Phillies, which is why I was thinking, oh, the Phillies are going to be good and people's expectations are going to be a lot lower.
But on that same note, you also have the Padres, who granted they traded away Cease, or they traded away Soto, got Cease, so like say whatever you want about them. You have the reigning National League champions. On top of that, you have the Dodgers, who are one of the best free agencies that we could ever remember. You know what I mean? So to that same note, because I have regression from the Diamondbacks coming.
I was going to say, I was partially surprised, but also not surprised no one picked Torey Lovullo.
I just have regression. I don't think he wins it 2 years in a row. That's another thing.
Yeah.
He
didn't win it last year.
I don't think he did. I don't know, because that was your
Schumacher.
Pick. That was my pick
last year. Skip Schumacher.
Yeah, last year was Skip.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But.
Regardless.
Yeah. That's all I got for NL. Manager of the Year. So going on to Relief Pitcher of the Year for the AL. Boring pick, I'm going Josh Hader.
I was going to say, go to me last, because I'm still split.
I am going to go with Johan Duran of the Minnesota Twins.
Interesting.
He's starting the year with an oblique injury, but I think he's just been so, like, he's been elite for about 2 years now, and I feel like not a lot of people talk about him. I just think he's due for a hell of a year. And the Twins in a weak division, you know. But
this one's also going to be a boring pick, and I'm just trying to remember. Correct me if I'm wrong, because, again, I'm not the best when it comes to if he's healthy or not. Is Felix Bautista hurt?
Yes, he's out for the year.
Shit. Yeah, he's missing
shit.
The year.
Is Emmanuel Clase healthy?
Yes.
Yes.
If he is healthy, I'm going him. Because, again, I just don't have any reason.
Emmanuel
Clase. Vibes.
My thing with Hader is you're putting him on one of the best teams in the AL, one of the most dominant teams in the AL over the last couple of years, and he's one of the best closers in baseball. He's probably top three, and that's coming off of a down year for his standards.
He didn't have a down year last year.
I thought he had somewhat of a down year.
2022,
that's
not
what I was
2023.
Thinking of. But I just think that you put him on that Astros team, that just seems like such a lock of the century to me.
That's fair.
Going on to that now.
Yeah. To the NL Reliever of the Year, there's not a ton of competition, so
I swear to God, if you say
I'm
going to
play
gonna
the trumpets, and
okay,
I'm going to say Edwin Diaz.
I like that pick, Nick. My thing, I want him to have a good year, but I just don't know how he's going to be coming off of an injury. I'll go Evan Phillips.
I think, interesting pick, I kind of like that. Kind of what we were saying with the over-unders, I just don't think Diaz gets enough saves because of his team. But like I said, I'm high on those Giants. Give me Camilo Doval.
Doval? Okay. I was going to say, same idea as mine.
I was thinking him as well, but man, just...
Diaz, no, you're a Mets fan.
Diaz didn't have a ton of saves in 2022. He had, like, one of the best seasons for a reliever in a while.
Yeah,
so
like 18K per nine.
Right, and he had like a 1 year, whatever. Or like, whatever.
Crazy numbers.
Yeah, he had crazy numbers, and again, I just don't think the competition is there for relievers in the NL.
Mm.
So I think it's probably going
to
come down between
those
him
two.
And Duvall. I like the Evan Phillips pick.
I
will say, that's like
that.
Out of left field.
I didn't think
my
about that, but I like
is the Dodgers, everybody's high on the Dodgers. They're going to have plenty of save opportunities.
Mm.
He's their closer right now.
Fair.
That's really all it is. if this is the year for him to really break out and be one of the best closers, 2024 is that year.
Yeah. So then going on to the AL Comeback Player of the Year, I chose Carlos Rodon.
I'm also going to go that again because I'm a Yankees fan.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Giancarlo Stanton is going to win Comeback Player of the Year.
It was between those two for me. I just think that Rodon, I'm high on him with innings. I think he had, I feel like his season was, it was a horrible season last year, don't get me wrong, but I feel like somehow it's even worse in the public eye than people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that that's going to kind of just get him some votes back, especially from what he was. And yeah, like you said, no one knows what this award is. So
yeah, exactly. And I think with Stanton, if he just has a healthy season, he's almost a lock. I can't really think
of... hits 35 home runs in a healthy season.
Yeah,
I
really can't think of anyone else who might be coming back from injury. So there might be like some obvious answer that we're missing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm trying to remember if Vladdy was hurt last year for the Blue Jays.
Nah.
He just had...
He just didn't...
Yeah,
or was he just mid?
Year.
He was just mid.
Yeah.
He was fine. But... Going off of that...
Do we have the same NL one?
We probably all do.
We probably do.
Yeah.
NL Comeback Player of the Year. 3, 2, 1.
Chris
Edwin
Sale.
Edwin.
Actually, that's not a bad one.
Wow.
I don't hate that.
Chris Sale.
I don't hate Chris
so
Sale.
So I'm
going to
go.
Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, I'm with Ian. I think Edwin Diaz.
I thought you guys were going Chris Sale, too.
Just because of the same thing of he missed all of last season, and he's, you know, he'll hopefully be healthy for this year. Chris Sale just keeps getting hurt and sucks when he, well, he doesn't suck, but he's mid when he pitches. But the Braves are probably going to figure something out. So.
I will say, you can talk this point more, but the Braves are very much the team. They were probably the best team for Chris Sale to go to in terms of rehabilitating pitchers.
Four words, two punctuation marks. Braves Foundation, comma, Devil Magic, period.
Elaborate,
that's
please.
It.
No elaboration.
Well, I will not elaborate.
Oh,
I just think that that's a
I'm
great
to
spot for him to bounce back. He's looked very good in the spring.
Yeah.
This is one of those awards that I think you just have to swing for the fences. And I think that if he has a healthy year, kind of what you said with Stan, I don't see how it's not him.
I'm going to put this on record as a Yankee fan and as a baseball fan. I fucking hate Chris Sale. If there's any team for him to do play well on and piss me off, it's going to be the Atlanta Braves.
I would also be pissed off if he's good.
But that's why,
why I drafted him in my fantasy
league. That's why
league.
I think he's going to be so good.
Because of
this
the Braves.
This is going to piss so many people off.
Yeah, he's going to be feeding on the hate.
He's going to be smashing so many TVs.
There's also better pitchers in that Braves organization that there's going to be less effort put towards,
yeah,
like, investing
right.
in, like, hitting against Chris Sale as,
yeah.
like, a Spencer Strider.
Yeah, he's that. Ahead of, I mean, he's behind Max Reed and Spencer Strider. He's probably locked into their three spot
right
now. And
that division isn't that the best offensively.
I would beg to differ, but.
Well, I'm saying,
it's
like, Nationals and Marlins, you don't know if the Mets are going to hit lefties this year. I think it'll be better against lefties, but say, theoretically, you still have the same issues.
Yeah.
Phillies are obviously the Phillies.
Right.
But
fair enough.
It's a
fair
very
enough.
Top-heavy division.
Yeah.
And he's pissing
yes.
the AL East, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, right. Makes sense. Checks yeah. out. I just hate it.
Yeah, but that's really all we got for
that's
the
for awards.
Awards.
So, let's just keep moving.
Yeah, just keep moving right into divisional standings. So, we'll start with the AL East.
You want to do all of AL? And then all of NL or bounce?
All of AL.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do AL then NL.
So to start it off, I have the Baltimore Orioles in first, Yankees in second, Blue Jays in third, Rays in fourth, and then Red Sox in fifth.
Ooh. I will go Yankees 1, Orioles 2, Rays 3, Red Sox 4, Blue Jays 5.
Okay. You had Blue Jays 5.
I have Blue
that
Jays 5. I honestly think that they're around similar levels. Because I'm not as high on the Blue Jays as everybody else.
Interesting.
Yeah, so for me, I have the exact same as you.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, Yankees, Toronto, Tampa, Boston.
You learned your lesson about Boston.
I was very close with Yankees winning the division.
I was too.
I like the Orioles' depth a little better, and I think the Yankees' starting pitcher depth scares me a little bit, which is going to be tested early, so I could be proven wrong very early. Toronto was very weird. I didn't know what to think of them.
I just think they're better than Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa's also very weird because they have a whole rotation hurt, Jeffrey Springs, don't know if he's going to pitch this year.
Traded Drew away Glasnow now.
Right, Drew Mathewson is going to be out. Shane Boz is out. Who else is out? There's a lot. The lefty, Shane McClanahan is out.
Yes, McClanahan.
They have a whole rotation out.
They also just rotate guys in and out so quickly.
Right.
That, like, you can, they're not a team where it's going to be, like, it all falls on, like, one guy.
Yeah.
Like the Yankees.
They don't have a Cole.
Like the Yankees, if they don't, like, I'm thinking more on hitting just in general.
Oh, okay.
They don't have, like, somebody like an Aaron Judge or a Garrett, or a Garrett Cole, where if
they are bad
or if they're injured, they're fucked. Like, they're a very efficient machine.
Yeah.
I'd tip my hat to the Tampa Bay Rays on that.
One last closing remark. I don't think the Red Sox are going to be horrible.
I do.
They're just in a bad division.
I agree.
I think it's both. But yeah, I just think, like, kind of what you said about the depth thing, and I even had Baltimore before the Cole injury. So I just think that it's very hard to go from fourth to first, especially in the best division of baseball. Yeah.
Baltimore's rotation also scares me, but I said that last year, and they proved me wrong.
But it's also in that ballpark. It's a lot easier to have.
So, and they have Burns, and I think Grayson Rodriguez takes a step forward. So.
And you also have Means coming back, right?
He's hurt now. But
he's hurt now? Regardless.
Yeah. At one point.
Yeah. So then going on to the AL Central, I got it kicking off with the Twins, Guardians, Royals, Tigers, White Sox. I'm actually going to swap Guardians and Royals right now the more that I read that. I don't know what it is. I have
So what's your new...
Twins, Royals, Guardians, Tigers, White Sox.
Interesting.
Okay. I will go Twins 1. I still have Guardians at 2. I put Tigers at 3, Royals 4, and then the White Sox are going to be absolute shit.
Exact same as Ian. I have Twins, Cleveland, Detroit, KC, and then White Sox.
My thinking, I will say, I think the main debate, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't 1 and 2, is where the Tigers should go. I'm high on Tarik Skrubel. That's one of the main reasons why I think they're going to be 3.
Yeah, it's the middle part that kind of that gets a little, not confusing, but like that's where like it can go either way. I think the middle 3 teams can all finish in like the same spot.
Yeah.
I really like the Guardians rotation. I said that in the past. I think that their offense is going to take a little step forward. That's their main concern. They have some prospects that can come up and help them on offense. Kansas City, that offense is not really much of anything. Mm-hmm. You have Bobby Witt, Pasquantino, maybe Renfro has something in him. Mikel Garcia, I think, the third baseman, he's supposed to be solid. I'm not sold on their offense. Their bullpen is shaky. The rotation is fine. You know, they added Waka and Lugo, but I like Detroit just a little better than them.
I was going to say, there's question marks with both, but end of the day, I have fewer with Detroit than Kansas City.
Yeah. I also, because I don't think he's going to be what he used to be in his prime, but Salvador Perez is still a pretty solid catcher.
Yeah.
All things considered. So to get league average, I'm just saying that for argument's sake, from a catcher, pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah. That is fair.
And then going on to the AL West, I have Astros, Rangers, Mariners, Angels, Athletics.
Ooh. Mine is different than yours. I will go Cheaters 1. I will go...
Oh, sorry. I thought there was a fastball.
Yeah. No, that curveball. I'll go Mariners 2 based off of my MVP Cy Young picks. I'll go 3, Rangers. Going to have a hangover. 4, I have the Angels, Athletics 5.
Me and Ian are just on the same wavelength today.
My
exact same order. I think Seattle has a chance to win this division.
I agree.
I was very close to picking them. The Astros rotation is in shambles right now. But, you know, it just depends on how they kind of start off the year.
Mm.
I think the Mariners have a better rotation. They have a better bullpen. It's just the offense. And they added Jorge Polanco. They added Mitch Garver. If those two are healthy, that's a really good offense.
Yes, yeah, I agree. I still see this as a two-team race for number one. And like you said with the Astros rotation, for me, it was between Astros and Rangers. Both their rotations are beat up, which gives the opportunity for the Mariners. But I see it as both their rotations are beat up. Who can coast until their starters come back?
I would give it to the Astros.
I did as well, yeah. But I was it was very close for me just because of the upside of the Rangers, because they hit like absolute crazy last year. That's also without having Adolis Garcia in the World Series, or did he play one game?
He played.
I think he played one or two games.
Didn't he have a walk-off?
He walked off the first game.
Yeah, but didn't he miss most of the World Series?
I don't think so. Well, while you figure that out, my thing about the Rangers is you got to remember they almost missed the playoffs in the last month, and they bought an entire new rotation at the trade deadline. You're not going to have Scherzer to start the year. You're not going to have DeGrom for basically the entire year.
He played three games, Dolis Garcia.
Out of six.
Okay.
Played half.
I thought he only played two. But
Tyler Mahle is going to be back midseason. So the rotation, I don't like the rotation. I don't like their bullpen. Their offense is still going to be good. I just think the pitching is going to be their downfall. Because, again, they bought an entire new rotation at the trade deadline. And they still almost missed the playoffs.
Mm. I would also say, where's Jordan Montgomery? Because I wouldn't know how much you relied on him in the World Series, but you're not going to have him.
Counterpoint, he only pitched half the year. And I know injuries say whatever you want about both guys, but you're getting Scherzer and DeGrom back at one point.
I will say.
DeGrom is going to miss the entire year.
He is? I thought DeGrom was coming back halfway through.
No, he's going to maybe pitch in September.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not. If you get DeGrom this year, that's a blessing.
Okay.
You cannot go into the year expecting DeGrom.
I'm not saying expecting DeGrom. I just thought he was going to be back.
Right. But no. And with Scherzer, who the hell knows how he's going
to
pitch?
I'm not expecting, coming off of a World Series, for them to perform at that World Series level that they were for like the last like month and a half.
Fair.
Agreed.
That's fair. And then, so.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else.
Yeah.
Angels Athletics, pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I feel for Angels fans and Mike Trout, but those two bottom teams are nothing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but also fuck the Athletics. Fuck John Fisher.
Also that.
Yeah. When I say fuck the Athletics, fans love you. Players
love you. Feel bad for you.
John Fisher, you're a piece
ownership.
Of shit. Yeah. John Fisher is a piece of shit. I want to put that on record.
So move on to NL. We good with AL?
I'm plenty good with it.
Yes,
let's go
yes,
NL.
Yes. I'm saying yes.
Okay.
Ah!
Okay, so starting off the NL East, I think this was my same as last year. I got Atlanta, obviously, Philly, obviously, Mets, because of course, Miami, Washington.
I think you had Mets second last year.
I had Phillies.
You had Phillies?
I think so. I'm going to go the same. Pretty boring, but I think it's more a question of what are the numbers going to be in terms of wins, especially for that middle.
That's what I thought.
It's like where are the Mets... How many wins are the Mets going to have? How many wins are the Mariners? Or not the Mets, the Marlins.
So you both went Braves, Phillies, Mets, Marlins, Nationals?
That's what I would go, yes.
Yeah, that's... So we're all...
Yeah, we're all on the same page.
I think the Miami, baby, the offense is what the issue is. Is Jazz going to be healthy? What are you going to get from
Josh? And even then, he's pretty overrated. Like,
right.
I think people act like he's a lot better than he really
is. What are you going to get from Josh Bell? What are you going to get from Jake Berger? Who the hell is playing shortstop? Their offense is questionable. Their rotation is hurt right now. And I think the Mets have a better offense. The Mets have a better bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy rotation you probably give to Miami, but I still like the upside of the Mets, obviously. Then Atlanta and Philly go without saying, and Washington is just there.
Yeah. And then it's you, my bad.
It's me. All right. So for the NL Central, this was tough. This Central is going to be very interesting.
This one was easier for me.
Like, I think not any one of these teams, but, like, the three top teams are going to be, like, interchangeable. But I got Cubs winning the division, Reds in second, Cardinals in third, Milwaukee in fourth, Pittsburgh in fifth.
So, I actually have the Cardinals in first, Cubs second, I would go Brewers third, Reds fourth, and then I'd have Pirates in fifth.
Mm. Because people know I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, but I'm not that high on them. I think the Cardinals bounce back. I think you had, like, granted the rotation's older, but you at least got innings.
So bad,
though. You at least got innings. It's better than what they had last year.
Hitting upside's too good.
I don't think so. I think the rotation is a lateral move.
I think you get more innings. More innings.
Maybe, but Lance Lynn is horrible. Sonny Gray is starting off hurt. Mm-hmm. Kyle Gibson is just... a Chad innings eater.
He's solid.
Who else is in the rotation?
I mean, Who did they have?
Steven Matz.
Steven Matz.
Oh, is he going to be healthy? I don't know, their fifth starter. Their offense should bounce back, their pitching is just god awful.
I think the pitching is better than last year. And on top of that, I just think the offense does bounce back. So I think it's just kind of one of those things where also being in such a bad division, my picks, I never even said them.
Yeah.
Cardinals, Cubs, Reds, Pirates, Brewers.
You have the Brewers that bad.
Explain.
I just do not see it with the Brewers. I've never seen it with the... Like, I know they do good, but you just lost your ace. I don't know what it is with me and the Brewers, but I just do not see them as competing. And I think with the Pirates, you at least have a bunch of young guys that are coming up. And I don't know what it is. It's just my gut feeling since the Brewers lost.
Interesting.
And then Reds, I think, could be a fun team.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm for second place, that's why I put the Reds. Their pitching is better, albeit it's in a bad ballpark for pitching. They kind of took a shot to their depth with Marte getting suspended. Matt McClain, don't know how long he's going to be out. But that's still, if Ellie has a decent year, you know, Spencer Steer, Jonathan India bounces back. They signed Jaimer Candelario. You know, I think there's a good amount of upside there. And then with the Cubs, I also like their upside. I like their rotation. I think Imanaga is going to be pretty good. And it's just a really weak division. Like, this division winner is probably going to win, like, 85 games.
Why can I not remember his name now? Who's their ace, the Cubs?
Steele.
Steele? Yeah. There was a little bit in the back of my mind that wanted me to put him as Cy Young. A very little voice in the back of my mind that was tempting me to put him. I ended up not because I feel like that was too big of a swing. Because, like, if you swing on that, there was a much higher chance you're missing than you're hitting. So I, like, didn't. But there was a little voice in the back of my head that was telling me to go Steele.
All the pundits I've heard have Justin Steele regressing this year.
Mm.
So that's why I was like, the Cubs, they're going to be a very solid team. But the thing with the Cardinals was, I remember last year, the expectations were very high and then everything went wrong. That hitting upside, I think, is too good to pass on. Where
they had two MVP candidates in 2022.
Like,
was
you
it?
Have,
right?
Like, yeah. You have Goldie, you have Nolan Arenado. Jordan Walker was supposed to be really good hitting wise. And I still see it being a much better year than last year.
I like Nolan Gorman. Mason Wynn, I think, is going to have the shortstop job. So there's a lot of upside in that offense.
There is.
It's the pitching.
Yeah.
And these three mid teams, like Cincinnati, St. Louis, Milwaukee, maybe not Milwaukee, but I think you can interchange any of them for that middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the rotation that scares me, and they don't have a lot of depth. I like Cincinnati's depth. I like Chicago's depth a lot better. As you can see, I put a lot of emphasis on depth this year, but yeah.
Everything about this division is mid.
Basically.
That's
literally middle.
Mid.
It's the NL mid.
Like, I'm looking at projections. I know we're not talking win numbers, but I'm looking at Fangraphs right now. The projections for wins, Cardinals 83, Cubs 82, Brewers 80, Reds 79, Pirates 77. Like,
I mean,
that is as mid as you can fucking get.
Pirates are only
get.
Projected three behind the Brewers.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like, all I'm going to say.
If this division winner is a 500 team, like 81-81, that's going to be so bad.
It's going to be. I'll call it right now. It's going to be.
Yeah. But to wrap it all in a bow, Central is mid. Who knows what the hell's going to happen.
We have very different opinions on the Central.
Now,
This one can be good.
The NL West. And I have a feeling, except for one pick, Justin and I are going to be very similar. I got the Dodgers in first. Obviously, annoying. I have the Giants in second. I have Arizona third. I have San Diego fourth. Colorado fifth.
I want to rock the boat a little bit. Should I?
Yes. Yeah, because I'm not.
Because for a second, I was like, okay, I agree. I probably still do, but I'll throw my hat in. I do have Dodgers 1. Giants at 2. Padres at 3. Diamondbacks at 4. Rockies at 5.
And I don't know what you thought I was going to do different, but I did the same exact thing as you with the NL Central of
really?
Dodgers, Giants, Diamondbacks, Padres. I thought I was going to shock the world with Giants, too.
I really like what they did. Blake Snell, as much as I'm not high on him, changes that entire rotation. You also have to remember, they're getting Robbie Ray midseason back. Alex Cobb is making a lot more
Matt
progress.
Chapman, Jung-Hoo Lee.
Right. That offense has some pretty good upside. They have a lot of starting pitching depth. They have a top prospect that's going to be in their rotation. That bullpen's going to be good. I really like the Giants going into the year.
You both neglected to mention Jorge Soler, who's going into He's going into a better ballpark than Miami, and he's going to be, I think, at this point in his career, is probably the most consistent.
Giants number one. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I think the thing that holds the Dodgers back is going to be Dave Roberts. Like, the biggest enemy of the Dodgers is the Dodgers themselves. As for the Diamondbacks, I think this is where I was, like, debating between three or four, is how much regression are we going to see?
Yeah.
Because that was a team that, like, prematurely made the World Series, in my opinion. I did not expect them to make it. I was very pleasantly surprised with how good they were, especially coming to the end of the season. I don't know how much they're going to be hung over as a team.
For the Diamondbacks, they upgraded at DH. They're going to have a platoon of Jock Peterson and Merrill Grichuk, which I think can be a really good platoon. You know, Christian Walker is a stud. Corbin Carroll's a stud. They've re-signed Lourdes Gurriel. They traded for Eugenio Suarez. You know, Jordan Lawler is waiting in the minors. If Geraldo Perdomo doesn't start off the year hot, they have a top prospect that can take his place. I think that offense is going to be good. It's going to be the bullpen that's going to be the issue.
Yeah, I agree. I have the same concerns with the bullpen, but my thing is how much of a soft, because I feel like Corbin Carroll could be due for a sophomore slump.
Look, he had such an insane year last year that, like...
Exactly. Like, it's going like to be not as good, but it's how low will he end up being?
But my thing with the Diamondbacks is I'm kind of tired of hearing people talk about teams that made it, that, like, overperform one year, and they're young, they're developing. Oh, they're guaranteed. Like, people act like it's almost a guarantee that they're getting back next year. I want everyone just to, like, think about the last couple of years every time we've seen that. Diamondbacks last year, obviously. The Yankees in 2017, they added Stan. They got so much better overall. They lost in the divisional round. What other, like, I'm trying to think of other teams, but I feel like we see it all the time. The Giants.
I was going
to
say,
a couple years ago.
I was going to say, let's just go back to who's represented the NL in the World Series. Last year, Diamondbacks, yet to see. Phillies last in 22. 21 was the Braves. Obviously, didn't go back to the World Series. 2020 was a weird year, but Dodgers.
Right.
2019 was the Nationals.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
The Nationals. Like that was the one.
They sold their soul for a World Series ring, and they've been at the bottom of the division ever since.
History's not on the side of the Diamondbacks.
The Royals.
Yeah.
And if we're talking out of the past few years of NL teams in the World Series, I think the Diamondbacks, in terms of not necessarily talent level, but in terms of history, could be the closest, and I hate to say this, to the Nationals than the Dodgers or the Phillies.
Yeah, so that's just, I think that people are almost penciling them in higher because of what they did, but past success, it can help with predicting future success, but it's not the end-all be-all.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I just want to touch on the Padres just for a second, because I think the Diamondbacks and Padres are going to be fighting for third. The Padres are really weird. Their last three lineup spots are either journeymen or prospects. Their rotation... You know, Michael King, I still think he's going to be good. You have, let's just go over the rotation, right? You have Darvish, you have Musgrove, you have Cease now, King. And I think Fangraphs has Joni Brito as their five.
Him or Vasquez, probably.
Right.
Vasquez.
I don't like their starting pitching depth. If Brito doesn't do it, you put Vasquez in. If Vasquez doesn't do it, now what?
I will say I do like that. I like Vasquez more than Brito. Mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of like alone on that. I think more people like Brito more than Vasquez. But that's one of those rotations where it's either going to be really damn good or it's going to be really damn bad.
Right. And Darvish isn't getting younger. You know, he had a so-so year last year. Don't like Musgrove for obvious reasons. He's a solid pitcher, but don't like him for obvious reasons. But I don't know. I think they're going to be really...
You could even go further than that. You look at Michael King, where this really going to be his first year as a full-time starter.
Right. There's going to be some innings that you need
Dylan
to cover.
Cease. I never thought Dylan Cease was all that. Like, I think they gave up a lot for Dylan Cease, me personally. Like,
I don't think so.
Like, I just... Me personally, if you ask me which I would rather have, I would rather have the Padres package.
Well,
personally, just from...
That's fair.
Like, I've never been that high on Dylan Cease. Like, I would much rather... have Drew Thorpe plus everyone else for 6 years.
Yeah.
See what they have on those cheap deals and have 2 years of Dylan Cease. Yeah. Granted, we're only talking about this year, but that's just from my point of view.
I think there's a lot of question marks when it comes to a full season of Michael King or a full season of Johnny Brito or a full season of Randy Vasquez, whoever is in your rotation that came from the Yankees. My question is more with, and it's been the same way with the Padres for years now, is there's so many chefs in the kitchen. There's so many personalities in that lineup. How are they going to mesh? Because that's been the issue forever. We're talking Machado. We're talking Tatis. Juan Soto isn't in there anymore, but still, even with just Machado and Tatis, how are they going to be together, and how deep is their batting lineup?
If you have a superstar, or like you have a bunch of superstars, you need an incredible leader.
You need a
glue
guy.
Why Aaron Judge, Gerrit Cole, two of the best leaders in baseball, if not like the best two. So you need those type of guys to have that many star players, and they don't really have that guy.
Yeah, they have a lot of egos. I think I've made my thoughts on Machado clear. I don't like him. I think Tatis has made a jump in character. I think he can be that leader of the future. But still, Machado and Tatis have gotten into it a few times in the past. And, you know, you have Bogarts, who I'm not too sure, like, his leadership ability.
I forgot about Bogarts, yeah.
But, you know, it's...
I don't think he was really that
very
big
weird
leader.
Team. Yeah, it's a very
weird
team.
He's not
bad,
but they also had, like, Betts, J.D. Martinez, who I heard a lot of people love.
Right.
JBJ, I heard, was loved in the clubhouse. But just to add to your Tatis point, he's 25 years old.
Right.
He was really young when a lot of the stuff happened. He definitely went through a lot, so there is room for personal growth. And I'm not just going to write him off because of that. But
baseball writers would say otherwise. But again, I do think Tatis is going to be good. It's just a question of Machado. No. Maybe because I've seen him for however many years in Baltimore, and I don't think he's really like matured as much. We'll see. We'll see. I might be completely wrong. The Padres take the division for some weird reason. I don't think it's going to happen, but I swear that's what's going to happen at this point, considering we're all writing them off. I have them at, what, three? I'm at third, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't care if they write back because I don't want to hear from them.
Yeah. NL West can be pretty fun, and the Giants could be a fun team.
They can
Giants,
be.
I
think they very much will be.
I think we all love the Giants here.
Yeah. This is a Giants podcast now.
Yeah, whether that's New York when it comes
to
five boroughs.
But any closing thoughts from either of you two about divisions, awards, anything, upcoming season?
Kansas City's going to shock the world.
No, they're not. Also, Bud Black for Manager of the Year in the NL.
It's going to be a very fun season, I think. A lot of storylines to watch for both the Mets and Yankees and just baseball world in general. You know, opening day is less than a week away. It's a few days away.
I think we're going to post this on Thursday, so it's probably day of.
Either the day before
Wednesday
or Thursday.
Either one.
By the time you're listening to this, it might be the night before. So. Yeah.
And before we do it, Ian.
Yes.
Sign.
I nearly broke my laptop. We're good, though. This
we're chilling.
Beating. Let's go top left.
Top left?
Yeah. He's going top left. I will narrate.
The lefty.
Onto the window.
Yeah, I'm to the wall. Yeah, I am a
the
lefty.
The sweat drips
disgusting.
Down my...
Fun fact, I am, in fact, a lefty. Don't hate on it. I'm hated on by everybody else.
But yeah, so a very big thank you to Ian for joining us on these past two episodes.
Hey,
yes.
Thank you for having me. I've been wanting to do this for fucking forever, so I appreciate you guys for having me here.
Of course. Always love having new guys on the pod just to talk ball. It's always a great time. Hmm. But... any closing thoughts, Justin, before?
I really have to pee.
All right, Justin really has to pee.
Yeah,
so with that being said, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Spotify to keep up to date. Obviously, if the season ramping up, we're going to be a lot more active, a lot more consistent, hopefully.
Yeah, yes. I can plug that.
Yeah, yes. And Ian will.
So, obviously... I'm also part of the Triborough Sports Show with TSS. Nick and Justin. Follow up, listen to us on 88.7 WNHU on Fridays from 4 to 6. TSS. Yeah.
TSS.
And we're also on Instagram at Triborough Sports Show. Be sure to listen to TSS. Yeah.
TSS.
That being said, thank you guys again, and we'll see you when we talk about the opening series for the 2024 season.
Bye-bye. Adios.